laughing looking at that video, and it said, to the dads who cook and to the ones who order pizza, I'm a order pizza dad. How about you? Huh? And to the dads who are able to, fix the leaks, and the dads who call a plumber, I'm a dad who calls a plumber, huh? And I definitely have my share of deficiencies, and that's two of them right there. Being able to fix things and cook things, I'm not very good at that, but I try to make up for it in other areas. But man, I'm glad to see you guys. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians 6, and last week we began talking about the fact that that in our culture today we have a lot of what we call absentee fathers, but yet God deals with this subject. Look in Ephesians 6 and verse number 4, and if you look at this verse, it's so insightful, and it's just so pointed, it's so direct. Ephesians 6:4 is written to dads, right straight to dads, and he says in Ephesians 6:4, you fathers, he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And, last week we said that, unfortunately, in our culture today, and I think it's probably been this way for all of time, a lot of absentee fathers. And an absentee father, we said, is a dad who has little or no positive impact or influence in his child's life. And last week we talked about the reasons for that. And we talked about last week how important dads are in children's lives. Now, I will say this. I know this can be a painful subject for some who had an absentee father. Many of us had absentee fathers, and I understand that. And I do want to say this. God's grace can abound in our life. And even though we may have had an absentee father, aren't you thankful that we have a heavenly father that'll never let us down? Amen. And he will stand in the gap when our earthly father lets us down. Because, earthly people are going to let you down. They're not perfect. And so there's no perfect situations out there. There's no perfect homes. There's no perfect families. There's no perfect moms or dads or any of that. But God can step in and God can fill the void. Nevertheless, as dads, we're going to make it a lot easier on our kids if we take to heart what God has said and just try by God's grace to implement what God has instructed us to do. And if we'll just do that, it's going to do immense things for your children. So whether you're a dad who has kids still at home, whether you're a dad whose kids are grown, I believe that by the end of this message, we're going to all see that, man, this applies to me, no matter the situation that you're in. So, I want to discuss this morning with you. And this is a very instructional message this morning. It's going to be very practical and hopefully very helpful, all right? Number one is this. How do I keep from becoming an absentee father? Number one is this. You ready? It says dads must be involved with their children rather than distant. They must be involved with their children rather than distant. If you got your hand out, try to write that in, and I believe it'll help you to write it and see it and hear it and all those things. If you go back to Ephesians 6:4, look at it, all right? You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if you look up the word nurture means teaching or training. The word admonition, that's not a word we use a lot, admonition, but yet it's a good word, and the word admonition means attention. So teaching, training, attention. What does that say? That tells me right there. That verse tells me clearly God's expectation from me as a dad. And that is, he wants me to be hands-on with my kids. He doesn't want me to delegate that to somebody else. He wants me to be hands-on with my kids. He wants me to give them the time and attention that they need. Now, a lot of dads are aloof. They're distant. And many times it's because their dad was that way. And they don't understand how important this is. So by God's grace, we're going to get this thing today. And we're going to understand that if you're a dad and you've been aloof and you've been distant from your kids, then that wall's got to come down and you're the only one that can bring it down. Your kids can't bring it down. You got to bring it down. And you've got to be daily involved in your child's life. And you got to be involved in things they're interested in. So many times we want our kids to be interested in the same things we were. I love collecting baseball cards when I was a kid. None of my kids cared about that. That's okay. Every kid is going to have their own thing that they like. And so you have to connect with your kids in things that they're interested in. Sometimes you'll have one kid that's very interested in the things you were, one kid that's not. He's interested in an altogether different thing. But you know what? You got to connect with both of them. You can't just gravitate to the one that likes the things that you like. So you have to be involved with your kids. I remember my youngest son, Caleb, when he was like, man, he's like 4 or 5 years old. He came to me and said, I want to play soccer. And I'm thinking, soccer? I've never played soccer a day in my life. all I know about soccer is that you kick the ball. That's it, you know. And I'm like, but if you want to play soccer, we'll play soccer. And he says, and I want you to help coach. Okay, all right, sure, I'll help, you know. And so so I help coach soccer, you know, and I remember then when they got to be teenagers, they got into a thing called frisbee golf. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but frisbee golf is where you throw this frisbee and you try to make it in this little basket, and there's 18 holes and you walk a lot, okay? And but it was a great time for us to connect. They want to do frisbee golf, so I said, okay, we'll do frisbee golf. So what I'm saying is, whatever your kids are kind of into, just get into it with them. Look in your handout. It says, hugs and expressions of praise should be given often. Listen, compliments don't cost you anything. I don't know why we don't compliment more. Really, I don't know why we don't as Christians. Why don't we compliment each other more? I mean, as long as it's sincere and it's not insincere flattery, if someone's truly blessed us, tell them. If your kids have done something good, tell them. Compliments don't cost you a thing, and so you need to hand those out, you know? So many kids feel like they're pulling teeth to try to ever get their parents to compliment them, and they shouldn't feel that way. They need to know that they are very special to you and that you're proud of them, you know? And I want to say this too, all right? I mean this. If your kids have a school activity, or they have a ball game, or they got a recital, can I tell you, just be there. Be there. Dads, be there. And when they're done, find something to compliment them about. If they were a tree in the school play, tell them they were the best tree you've ever seen in your life. Man, you stood there straight and tall and you didn't move. You were the best tree I have ever seen in my life, you know. And you know, we don't always have to be critical of our children in an effort to help them, okay? They've got coaches and teachers for that. Just be supportive and just be their biggest fan, you know. Up on the screen is a great verse. It's a good cross-reference. It says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now look at this. Lest they be what? Some of you know that, right? You know that. Your dad was a discouragement in your life. And some of you can relate to that. We could stand up and give testimonies, okay? But you have the opportunity to be a dad that isn't a discouragement. You can be a dad that is an encouragement to your children, whether they're grown or whether they're still at home. And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, provoke not your children to anger. And I thought, how do we provoke our kids to anger? What creates angry children? And I thought, well, I think probably the number one way that we provoke our kids to anger and we discourage them is as dads, being uninvolved, being distant in their life. And I think probably the second way that we discourage them is by being hypercritical of them. You know, you can't do anything right. You know, you're the worst player on the team. Why do you strike out every time? You know, why can't you be like your sister and get good marks? You know, and so we discourage them when we're hypercritical. And let me say this, when I talk about being involved, in your handout it says, being involved doesn't equal money. Being involved with your kids does not equal money. So I want you to write that in. You know, listen, hey, it doesn't cost anything to play catch with your kids in the front yard. It does not cost you anything to be at their ball game. It doesn't cost any money for you to tuck them in at night and tell them a bedtime story. None of that costs anything, you know? And so I'm not talking about, because I think what happens is sometimes dads are uninvolved with their kids, and then they think if they throw money at the situation that that's going to make everything okay. As long as I give my kids everything they want, as long as I spoil them with all the toys they want, then they get to be teenagers and I give them a car at 16, that's going to make up for it, and it's not. You know, it says in your handout that, you know, material things are not an adequate substitute for you. They need you. They need time spent with you. Listen, it doesn't cost any money for you to take your kids to the beach and build sandcastles. It doesn't cost any. My kids, one of the things they like to do when they were growing up, Clint, you remember this, that they like to build forts. And so what we would do is we would get out all the blankets and all these sheets, and we would get chairs, and we would build a huge fort in the living room. Let me tell you something. Denise loved it when we built forts. Man, we made a mess of all messes when we did this, okay? But we would build forts, and they absolutely love that. I want to sleep in the fort tonight. Are you sure? Yes. And I'd wake up in the morning, I'd be the only one in the fort. You know, they went, to a comfortable bed, and I'm still in the fort, you know. But man, it was fun. You know, it doesn't cost you any money to throw them on your back and say, come on, let's ride the horsey, and take them around the house and let them ride the horsey, or have a pillow fight, or go out in the front yard and get a kickball game going with the neighborhood kids. As dads, that doesn't cost you any money, but this is invaluable for your kids. It creates so many incredible memories, and it does something for your kids. You know, you're right there with them, you know. Number two, the second thing is this. How do we keep from being an absentee father? Number two, dads need to be strong family leaders. And boy, this is huge. Dads need to be strong family leaders. You got to be the leader of your family. Look at Ephesians 6:4 again. It says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but notice it says, bring them up. Bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Now, clearly, the Bible teaches that husbands, dads, are to be strong leaders in the family, and that you cannot abdicate that to mother. Mother plays a vital role. We all know that. Moms are super important, and I mean, where would we be without moms? But yet, dad is to provide spiritual leadership in the home. God has called dad to be that leader, and that does not mean that he's walking around the house, strutting around the house, bossing everybody around, barking out orders, and making everybody, do his every whim and everything he wants. That's not at all what I'm talking about, is that dad goes around demanding that everybody do what he wants. No, I'm talking about passionately loving your wife, passionately loving your children, just being that godly influence, that godly example. In fact, look back at chapter 5 real quick. Go back to Ephesians 5. And if you want to know what I'm talking about as far as leadership, look at verse 25. That's a big verse right there, man. It says, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's leadership that's sacrificial, right? Christ gave himself for us. Look down at verse number, go down to verse 28. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. And then skip down to verse 33. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. In your handout, it says that dads should be strong leaders in the correction and discipline of their children. They should be strong leaders in the discipline and correction of their children. I really endeavored to do that as my three boys. I got three sons, and as they were growing up, I tried not to just leave that to Denise. I didn't think that was fair to just leave that to Denise. I felt like I needed to be a part of that, and leaving that to mom is really a cop-out of our biblical responsibility. In fact, remember the verse we read, dads, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture also carries the meaning of correction. Bring them up in the nurture, and it carries the idea of correction. God said that for a reason. Kids need that, and they need to see dad in this role. Hey, listen, dads, it's tough. It's a tough line there, you know, but discipline, just to kind of lay it out there, when you discipline your children, it should be fair, and it should be firm, and it should be consistent, but it should be done with warmth, and it should be done with love. It should not be done in anger, and it should not be done in frustration, and it shouldn't be done like you're mad. One of the things that I used to do with my kids a lot is I would say, when they were bad, and it's not something I could really deal with then, I would just say, you need to go to your bedroom. And I would send them to their bedroom, and they may stay in there 5 minutes before I came in, 10 minutes. Sometimes it might be 30 minutes. Now, if you asked my kids about it, they would tell you that they were convinced I did that to torture them, okay? But that was not what I was doing. I was actually doing that to allow myself to cool down before I disciplined them. I wanted to make sure that I could cool down, that I could get a hold of myself, and so that I could deal with the thing with the right attitude. And I gotta admit to you, and I gotta tell you this, I am so glad those days are over, let me tell you. My kids now are grown. I got two at home, but they're men now, and I am so glad those days are over. I've got two grandsons now, and I don't, yeah, I, those days are over. Landon pretty much gets whatever he wants when he's at my house, all right? And I just pretty much just whatever, man. You know, he was over Friday to our house for quite a while. And yesterday we were here for Adam and Bree's wedding, and Clint goes, yeah, he was over at your house a lot. Said, and let me tell you something, Friday night, and he said, and Saturday morning, he was a handful. And I said, so Clint, are you trying to tell me that it takes you a full day to straighten him out after he's been to Papa's house? And he's like, yeah, that's about right. You know, yeah, just whatever you want, Landon, you got it. Now I give him back to mom and dad, amen? But you know, I'm glad those days are over. But I got to tell you, when my kids were growing up, it wasn't that way. I was very much on top of that, very much helping Denise, you know, in that area. By the way, I'm going to throw this out there. Fathers who allow their children to run over mom and treat her with disrespect are damaging their kids more than they could ever realize. Okay? Listen, you can't let them run over mama. Listen, they need to know that if you mess with mama, you're messing with me, you know. And I got to tell you, my dad had a long fuse. He was a very patient, long-suffering man. But if we ever pushed mama's buttons enough to where she blew, let me tell you something, my dad would come out of his chair with fire in his eyes, you know, because we didn't mess with mama. Okay, that was the one area we just didn't do. So let me give you the next thing. Dads should be the spiritual leaders in the home. Kids need spiritual instruction, all right? And it's very powerful, Dad, when it comes from you. So what am I saying? You got to know everything about the Bible and you have to be this spiritual giant? No, I'm just saying that you need to be a growing Christian. It's not rocket science here, all right? This is not rocket science. If you want your children to love the Lord, then guess what, Dad? You need to love the Lord. If you want your children to love the Word of God, then guess what, Dad? You need to love the Word of God. Let me tell you something. I got a whole bunch of amens at 8:30, and I didn't get one in this service. I don't know why you guys are so quiet out there. Do y'all believe what I'm saying? Yes or no? Amen? I mean, if you want your kids to love the Lord, then you need to love the Lord. All right? If you don't really love the Lord and don't show any kind of love or passion for the Lord, then what makes you think your kids are going to grow up and love the Lord? You know, if you don't love the Bible, what makes you think your kids are going to embrace the Bible and what it says? So it's not rocket science here. This isn't confusing. This isn't hard stuff. It's just very practical. You know, you don't have to know everything about the Bible. All right? Now, that's not what I'm saying. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. All right? But you just need to be learning. You need to be hungry. You just need to be growing. And children just need to see that. Children who only see mom reading her Bible, and they only see mom praying, and they only see mom going to church, they're subtly getting this message that, oh, I guess Christian belief's just a mother's thing, you know. And in your handout it says if dad's weak in his spiritual leadership, his children, especially his sons, will be quick to give up their belief when they come of age. They'll be quick to bolt. Now, not always. Sometimes they'll follow mom's example, but many times, many, many times, they're looking at dad. And if the Christian life isn't for dad, then they kind of grow up and think, well, then it's not for me. And so it's very important, Dad, the influence that you have in your children's lives. Number three, dads must demonstrate a meaningful, long-term commitment to one woman in marriage. And that, of course, should be the child's mother. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 31. Let's go back there. Ephesians 5, 31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. Now, what happens when someone becomes your wife? We just saw a wedding yesterday. Adam and Bree got married up here. It was an awesome wedding. And notice what it says. It says that he's joined to his wife, and it says they two shall be what, church? One flesh, right? And so kids should never see dad criticizing mom or taking their side against mom. Now, this happens all the time, and kids quickly learn how they can pit mom against dad, and that's not good. Trust me, that is not. If you go against your wife, you criticize your wife, you act like your wife's stupid in front of your kids, you go against what she's told the kids, you give in to them when mom said no. Trust me, all that's counterproductive, okay? You trust me when I tell you that isn't going to work out very good, all right? You now, as a parents, a dad and a mom, You're not always going to agree. So, I mean, you're two different people, two different upbringings, two different pasts, two different sets of ideas maybe. These are things that very rarely get discussed in premarital counseling. I discuss them if I ever counsel someone before they get married. Many people don't. They don't even talk about it. And so they begin to have kids, and there's two completely different sets of ideas on how to raise kids. And then as all of a sudden it's this. And then mom and dad begin to argue in front of the kids. You know, well, I think that's too severe, you know, and it just, it's terrible because the kids all of a sudden see this, and of course they eat it up because they learn how they can play mom against dad, and so that isn't going to work. So in your handout it says that your kids need to know that your primary loyalty, dad, is to mom. Your primary loyalty is to mom. Your relationship to her is the most important thing in your life next to your relationship with God. Now, if you turn your handout over, we're going to get into that in just a minute. But I want to just say this, okay? As parents, are there going to be times when you disagree on how to raise your kids, yes or no? Yes. What you do is you take that privately. Okay, you take that issue privately. You don't discuss that in front of the children. You go in somewhere private, out of earshot of the kids, and you discuss that. If you think a punishment was too severe, that maybe, say, your wife gave the children, then you tell her that and give her the opportunity to go back and change that. But you don't change it. See, you give her that opportunity because she's the one that gave the punishment. So it's just common sense stuff here, but so many couples don't do this, and it creates all kinds of conflict within the family, all kinds of family conflict. So here's the thing that you need to remember is that when the kids are grown and gone, you and mama still got to live together. All right? So you really need to remember that. And as rough as marriage may get from time to time, I want to implore you, don't turn to divorce and do not think that that's going to provide an answer to all of your problems. If you're struggling, then you and your wife, get in the Word of God, pray about that thing together, be honest with each other about it, seek help maybe from somebody who can help you. We're here to help you at Crossroads. We've got an excellent counselor here at our church, a certified counselor, and his name's Jim Warren. He's incredible. He's helped so many couples put things back together and pick up the pieces. And so I would encourage you to, you know, to get help. Jim has a lot of counselors underneath him that are helping people. So I would encourage you to do that. Don't turn to divorce, please. All right, now, what I want to do is take our remaining time, and I want to take some specific situations that people are dealing with, and I kind of want to, you know, really narrow in on some things that I think will help us. All right, let's look at it. It's on the back side of your handout. Number one is this: what if I have been an absentee father, all right, and it says my children are already grown? What if I've been an absentee father, guilty, you know, and you're like, man, I am guilty. I know I am. And, you know, I admit it. But your kids are grown. What do you do about that? Well, here's my encouragement to you. I want you to get a statement. It's one of my favorite statements I've ever made in 25 years because it gives you great hope. We all have things in our past we're not proud of. We all have things that we've messed up, things that we didn't do well, things that we just flat out just blew it, okay? And in your handout, it says, you cannot change the past, but you can change the meaning of the past, all right? And how do you do that? How do you change the meaning of the past? Well, the way you do that is you admit where you were wrong. First of all, the Bible says you have to repent. You have to change your mind. And the Bible says that godly repentance is going to bring deliverance. So what you do is you repent, you change your thinking, you admit where you've been wrong, and you say, okay, you know what? I was an absentee father. I admit it, but I'm going to admit that to my kids who are grown now, and I am going to begin to take an active interest in their life and in the lives of my grandchildren as much as they will allow me to. And, you know, a lot of times, I think that most kids want a good relationship with their parents, and you would be shocked, even though you maybe think there's been some problems between you and your kids, or maybe there's just been a number of years of it being strained. you would be shocked if you try and kind of mend some fences. You would be really shocked at how much good that it will do. And in your handout, it says that, it says, just because you were an absentee father does not mean that you have to be an absentee grandfather. Just because, I'll tell you what, let me give you two examples here, all right? When I talked about you can't change the past, but you can change the meaning of the past, let me give you an illustration. Let's say you got a guy over here who was an absentee father. Maybe he was always at work. He never was at his kids' events. He really wasn't a part of their life very much. And he just was an absentee father. He just didn't have a whole lot of positive influence on his kids. Now he's a Christian. Now he knows the Lord. The Lord's done a work in his life, And so now all of a sudden the kids are like, you know what? Dad, he was neglectful of me when I grew up. But he sure has changed. He really has learned from his mistakes. And Dad has become a wonderful father, and he has become an incredible grandfather. You know, and I got to admit that he really has changed. Now, that's one scenario. Now, hopefully it's not a scenario like this, is where your grown kids say, you know, Dad was selfish and self-centered when I grew up. And you know what? He still is. He is still consumed with himself. He doesn't care about me or my kids. Boy, Dad hasn't learned a thing. So you notice in one situation, he changed the meaning of the past by now changing and being an active part of his kids and his grandkids' lives. The other one did not. So that's what I mean. You can change the meaning of your past by your godly, Christ-like actions in the present. You won't believe what that'll do for your children. Number two, what if I have been an absentee father and my children are still home? Well, that's a little bit easier, because there you get your kids together and you simply admit to your children your shortcomings and your failures. And in your handout, it says you begin to change through Christ's power. You just admit where you've been wrong and you begin to change. There's a verse up here on the screen I'm going to bring up. Look at it with me. Proverbs 28:13. It says, he that covers his sins will not prosper. You cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. He says, but whoso confesses and forsakes them, the Bible says, he will have mercy. So what you have to do is you got to admit to your kids where you've been wrong, identify some lifestyle changes that you want to immediately make, and then I would encourage you to talk to your wife about it and ask her to hold you accountable. Now, guys, we like to talk about how we're the leaders and all that, but I want you to go back to Ephesians 5:21 and look what Paul says here right before he discusses marriage. Look at Ephesians 5:21. It says, submitting yourselves, and what's the next phrase, church? One to another in the fear of God. Ha, a mutual submission there, isn't there? Guys, we tend to drift. We tend to get off course. And so I would encourage you, ask your wife to hold you accountable. Say, hey, if I'm drifting into this again and I'm not involved in our kids' lives, tell me. Number three, what if I have been an absentee father and I am divorced? Wow, that happens all the time, doesn't it? What if I have been an absentee father and I'm divorced? Here's the bottom line. You ready? Write this in your handout. It says you have to do whatever is necessary to be an active part of your child's life. It is absolutely crucial, and your child needs you desperately. Last week, I gave you a statistic. I said that half of all dads after they divorce never see their kids again. Half of dads that divorce never see their kids again. There's a lot of reasons for that, okay? But nevertheless, you have to take an active role in the daily life of your child. And you have to provide that support, that encouragement, that discipline, that instruction we talked about. Listen, Ephesians 6:4 doesn't go away just because you've been divorced, Dad, okay? Ephesians 6:4 doesn't disappear just because you've been divorced. It's still there, and you're still responsible, and it's still applicable to your life. Next thing, number four, what if I am a stepfather? Wow, that's a biggie. Because that can involve a multitude of different situations, so there's not a pat answer for that. But in your handout, it says, if you are a stepfather and you have children from a previous marriage, do not neglect your own children. That's not fair to your kids. and it's likely going to do much damage. It's going to cause a lot of hurt in their lives. I see this so much, and it's painful to me as a pastor. What I see is, here's a scenario. You ready? This guy gets married when he's young. He has a couple kids with his wife. They divorce. They have problems. They divorce. Then he moves on. He marries again, and he starts having kids and have a second family. Completely forgets about his kids from the first marriage. Or he has stepchildren that he kind of gets when he gets married again. Completely forgets about his biological children from his first marriage. And can I submit to you, that is wrong. That is not right. That is not fair to those kids that you have fathered. That is not right. They need you, okay? They need you in their life. And by the way, let me say this. While I'm out there, I might as well go ahead and say this too. If your new wife encourages you to have nothing to do with your kids from your first marriage, she is wrong for doing that, okay? She's wrong. I'm just telling you. She's wrong for that. She should never discourage you from being a dad to your kids, okay? And if your children from a previous marriage now have a stepfather, in other words, your first wife remarried, you can't have the attitude, well, okay, the stepfather can take over, and then abdicate your responsibility to him. No. Listen, yes, you want a peaceful relationship with that guy because he's with your kids every day. All right, so it's not going to do any good for you to be confrontational and combative and disparage him because he's with your kids every day. So you want to try, if you can, to have a decent relationship with that guy, all right, and work together to raise these kids up the right way. But you can't just abdicate everything to him. That's not right. Your relation, now let's talk about this. What about, you say, okay, I got stepchildren in my new marriage. What do I do? Well, that depends on their comfort level, their age, their relationship with their biological father. But if your stepchildren do not have an active father in their lives, definitely you need to step in and you need to fill that vital role in their life. Regardless of the situation, though, you can never go wrong. When it comes to the whole thing of stepchildren, you can just never go wrong by simply being there for them, being loving, kind, and supportive of them. Now I want to talk about one more thing. Number four, what if, or number five, whatever this number is, what if I am a single mother, okay, and my children's father is an absentee father? Wow. Now I'm talking to ladies on Father's Day. How about that, huh? But if you are a single mom and you're the dad of your children has nothing to do with them or little to do with them. My first thing to say to you is this, and I want you to listen now to your pastor, okay? Do not rush into another marriage or another relationship thinking that that's going to be the answer. Okay, don't do that. Because that can take a situation from bad to terrible really fast, okay? So don't do that, all right? Here's what you do need to remember. In your handout, it says the church is the place where we find spiritual moms and spiritual dads, spiritual brothers and sisters. If you look up at the screen, 1 Timothy 5 says, look at this, talking about the church. I love this. This is what the church is. He says, rebuke not an elder, entreat him as a, come on, say it with me, entreat him as a what? Father. How about that? So we got people in church that can be like a father to us. He said, treat the younger men as what? Brothers. So I can find people in church that are like brothers to me. He says, you can treat the elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. So the church, man, it's awesome. That's why God brought us together as a church. See, is that there hopefully could be an older man, you know, in the church, it's got a proven track record as a godly man and a godly father who maybe can kind of step in there and fill that void if you're trying as a single mom to raise those kids on your own. Thank God for godly influences, you know, at church, whether it's, you know, men like Pastor Clint, who's our children's pastor, or Pastor Rob, our youth pastor, or just other godly leaders in Awana, or godly leaders, you know, in the church that can step in there and kind of be that godly male influence in your child's life. Children who are living father-deprived lives, they need a man who will stand in there in the gap for them. And by God's grace, you know, we can do that. And we can show them the love of Christ. Here's the bottom line. Regardless of where you have been as a dad, okay, regardless of what your past is, regardless of what's happened in the past, my encouragement today is just to step up and do the right thing now. You can't change the past, but you can step up and do the right thing right now. And so if you've got kids, just do the right thing by them, you know, and love them. Just love them. And be that encouragement to them that God wants you to be. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.